Help us welcome next, Evan.
Hey guys, I'm an alcoholic. My name's Evan. It's good to be in Arizona. I'm grateful to be here, man. I have a sobriety date. It's April 9th of 2015. I'm extremely grateful for that. I'm grateful to be here. I have a home group and a sponsor, and they're located in Orange County, California on Thursday nights. If you ever want to come through, add me on Facebook or something. I will shoot you the address. It's Men's Stag. But yeah, man, I'm extremely grateful to be here, dude. I mean, never had a legal drink. I qualify. I sobered up when I was 17 years old. And you know, it was, I was young, but I was done. I was extremely done at that point. And, you know, even though I was 17, I felt like I had been through the ringer, and, you know, and I showed up. You know, there's a couple guys that are here, that saw me on day one when I was new, that were in that fucking meeting. And if you want to, you know about the sniveling mess I was on day one, go talk to them. And, but yeah, man, I don't know. I qualify. I'm 21 years old today. I'm 4 years sober. So I'm legally eligible to fuck that up. But like, I also never smoked crack legally. I never did cocaine legally. I never did any LSD legally. So, you know, it's never been something that's like that big of a deal to me, right? Like, my sponsor, he sobered up when he was 16, and, you know, he's 34 years sober. And he was telling me that, like, back when they started Alcoholics Anonymous, prohibition ended in 33, right? So all those guys drank illegally. And, you know, it has never been something that's been a roadblock for me. You know, I never worried about it, right? Like, it was honestly easier for me to go in and steal a bottle than it was for me to wait outside of the grocery store and, like, ask somebody to buy it for me. So I would just do that and, you know, go remove the cap later. And, you know, so, like, it's never been something that I've tried to make myself unique with. And, you know, the last thing I need is, another vessel that separates me from you, right? Because like I get here and I think I'm so unique. I think I'm a little fucking snowflake and like my case is different. And, you know, like if only you understood, right? Like if only you got that, like, I have some real fucking issues, and, like, I have some problems that need to be addressed immediately, and, you know, that just wasn't the case, right? Like, because then I would hear other people share, and it's like, they came in with a mountain of shit over their head, and, you know, I'm sitting here, and, like, you know, my problems just aren't that great, right? And, like, when I can share that with you, and, like, when I don't remove myself from the whole of Alcoholics Anonymous, like, it lessens those problems a lot, you know, and, like, pain shared is pain lessened. You know, so I'm grateful for you guys. I don't know, I guess I'll just, I'll share a little bit about my story. I'm sure you guys can identify. I started getting loaded when I was 11 years old. I was really young. And, you know, I went to the park by my house and there were some kids smoking weed and they asked if I wanted to smoke weed with them. And I was like, fuck yeah, dude. Because like, I just wanted to be a part of something. Right. So, you know, I go smoke weed with them. They teach me how to use a hand pipe. Drugs are a part of my story, by the way. And I'm sure some of you guys can relate. You know, they're teaching me how to use a hand pipe. And I ask them, like, when are we going to do this again, right? Like, when are we going to smoke weed? And they're like, yeah, we smoke weed every day. And I'm like, fuck yeah, man. So, like, automatically I'm hooked, right? Like, and, you know, I didn't get high the first time. I didn't really feel anything. It was cool to be a part of something, but, like, I didn't have that thing kick in yet. But about 2 weeks later, they asked me if I wanted to go drink with them. And I said yes. And they had like 2/5 of Popov vodka and a bunch of little airplane bottles. And I heard some oohs and ahs. If you know what Popov vodka is, it's if you've ever seen like a homeless man drinking out of a paper bag outside a liquor store, it's probably like Popov vodka in there. And that was my first drink. And like I drank it, I felt it pretty much immediately, and I kept drinking it. They didn't tell me it wasn't like weed, right? Like, because weed, I can smoke as much as I want. and I'm good. I can just go home and like eat a pizza. I feel like I'm in a dream or something, you know? And, but Papa Vodka, on the other hand, I drink 23 shots of that and like I'm down, you know? And like I'm 11 years old. I'm probably 50 pounds lighter than I am now, and I'm not heavy. You know, I go home, I throw up a lot. And the last thing that I remember is like my door handle. I was looking up at it, and there were six of them, and they were all moving really fast. And, you know, and that like I woke up in my bed, and I could have sworn that I made it to my bed, but I go downstairs, and my mom is, she's like, what's wrong with your bed? And I was like, what do you mean? What's wrong with my bed? And she's like, I found you asleep with your head on your bookcase this morning. You were on the floor. And like, I didn't know what to tell her, right? So I just told her, like, I ate a bad burger at the fair to explain the puke, and like, I just wanted to sleep on the floor. But, but the thing is, like, two things happened on that first drink. The first thing that happened was the phenomenon of craving hit, right? I was hooked immediately. It went fucking boom, and like something happened, right? I don't know that I was born an alcoholic. I don't try to like debate that with myself. I don't get super deep into it, but something happened on that first drink that sparked something off. And I've never had a social drink. I haven't. You know, from that first time, it has always been to chase that, to get blackout drunk. And same thing with drugs. The second thing that happened was immediately on the first time, I was using survival skills to keep going. Right? Like I was lying, I was manipulating, I was cheating, I was coming home after my curfew, all that sort of stuff just on the first drink, right? Because like I know inherently that like I'm gonna wanna do this again. And if I wanna do this again, then I can't come clean because this is probably a bad thing because I've been to the DARE program and like I understand what that looks like. So like throughout my getting loaded, it progressed very fast. I was hanging out with a lot of older kids. They were like seniors in high school, freshmen in college, and I was in seventh grade. And they were like in their experimental phases, right? So they were doing a lot of drugs, and like I was just along for the ride. And by the time I was in the summer between seventh and eighth grade, I had a lot of habits. I was drinking like three or four times a week. I was smoking weed every day. I was doing cocaine every weekend. And like I was doing ecstasy whenever I could get my hands on it, a couple times a week at least. And I was starting to smoke crack. And like, I'm not like one of those alcoholics that's super low key, right? Like I go home and like I like go cause a fucking ruckus, you know? Like people are like, dude, you're fucked up, and I'm like, I haven't even said anything yet, you know? And like I walk into a room and people know, they know right away. So like I am not good at hiding stuff, and you know, my family kind of understands that, right? Like they've seen me, and like they know. And something happened at school. I got caught up with some paraphernalia, and like the whole truth came out, really, essentially, right? And like I was like selling like a little bit of weed here and there, and they found like an ounce of weed on me, and like I said, if you take that ounce of weed from me, I'm gonna kill you, and then I'm gonna kill myself to my whole family. So and like, you know, like I'm not homicidal. I'm not very suicidal. But like, that's where my disease takes me, right? Is like, I'll just tell you whatever I need to, so I can get through to the door and get the fuck out. Right. Because they're like, there's a car waiting for me and I need to be in there to get loaded. And, so like, you know, obviously they had, any rational person's reaction, they called the police, and like, I'm sitting there, and, at this point I'm like under a car, and, I'm like crying and they're, you know, they ship me off to a rehab in Utah for 9 months. And so I'm 13 at this point. I'm doing a 9-month stint in a rehab in Utah. It's a lockdown facility. I can't go anywhere. I can't really do anything. And it's a therapy to get you sober type place, right? And, you know, I don't think that there's, I don't have an opinion on therapy. I don't think that there's anything wrong with it. But, like, what I know about myself today is that, you know, it Alcoholics Anonymous works. Right. And AA works for me. And I get out of that rehab and they sent me home with like a bunch of medication, and I got loaded on the plane home. Right. I took like a 10x dose of the sleeping meds that they gave me. And the moment I got an ounce of freedom, my alcoholism was running rampant. And you know, so that was a big thing there, right? Because like, no amount of consequences are going to stop me. And like, I could tell a million different stories like that, right? Like throughout the course of, like in high school, throughout the course of me getting loaded, it was just constant consequences, dude. The circumstances always got worse and like the actions always stayed the exact same. So by the time I get sober, you know, I've been to rehab. I've been to outpatient, the same outpatient 7 times. I've been to 3 inpatient rehabs, and you know, I'm on probation, and like I don't know why, right? Like, I'm extremely baffled at this point because I know that like I don't want to get loaded anymore. I really do not. Like, nothing inside of me actually like consciously wants to get loaded, you know? And for some reason, whenever I get out of that rehab, even after I'm on my knees praying that I don't get high again, like, give me 90 days without a program. Give me 90 days and like I will get high again, or I'll have a gun in my mouth. And like that's what happened, right? You know, I got to that point. I was going I was coming in and out of the program for about a year. I never felt like different because I was young. Right? That was never something that I used to separate myself from you, because you would talk about your feelings and like I related, right? The moment I walked into a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, I knew that there was not like a legitimate excuse for me to get loaded anymore. I couldn't just blame it on me being myself. And like, I cannot explain the feeling that I felt when I walked into my first AA meeting and like they started talking, you know, it's never been like, I walked out of there like very, you know, emotional. I was like, I don't know what this is, but like, it's not like what I'm experiencing in rehab. It's not those meetings that I'm having with my therapist. Like, these people are genuinely just saying what they're doing, and like, it's working for them. And like, I believed them. So like, I'm going in and out of the program, and, you know, I'm getting like 60 days here, a couple weeks here, and I'm getting like a sponsor, and like I'm doing a 4-step, and like I'm getting stuck on my 4-step, and I always get high again, and like eventually it comes to a head, and you know, it basically, like, my bottom to me looked like I had no legitimate friends left in my life. You know, I had a couple acquaintances that I was getting high with at the time, and you know, my family wanted nothing to do with me anymore. They had pretty much like disconnected any like monetary relationship that they had to me, right? Like, they turned off all of my like my cell phone stuff. They said, like, we know that you're basically fucked, like, you're gonna do something terrible to yourself, like, we're just gonna take you off the fucking health insurance. And like, you know, they were just using tactics to like get me to come home. And and like, so nobody in my life really wanted anything to do with me anymore. I hadn't been to high school in like 6 months, and you know, and like, I'm sitting there, and like, I realized that I don't want to do this anymore. And you know, I knew my buddy was selling some pills, and I took them all. And again, I'm not like a suicidal person. You know, I don't really suffer from any of that sort of stuff, but like in that moment, it was just like, fuck it. Like, I'm just going to do whatever I need to do. And like, I came to, I had a seizure, I blacked out, I came to, and like, they were all gone, right? Like, those friends, acquaintances that I was getting high with, they just took off, kind of dipped out when I started having the seizure, I guess. And like, I just walked home, and like, something happened in that rehab. I met this kid, and he was fucking insane, dude. I mean, like, he AWOL'd on accident, you know? And like, he was nuts. Like, one hit of meth away from a wet brain, and like, he stayed sober after the rehab. And I saw him, like, when I was going in and out of AA meetings, and I would see him and I would talk to him, and like, I knew that he was sober. I could see it, like, him getting better. And like, I got his number a couple times, and like, one time I asked him to sponsor me, and like, when I hit bottom, he was the only one I knew to call. He was 17 years old. I was 17 as well. He lived a mile and a half away from me. And those were the only criteria I needed for a sponsor, right? Like, I didn't care what kind of job he had. I didn't care what kind of car he had. I didn't care if he was in a relationship or not. I just needed someone who, he had a year sober, and like, that was good enough for me. And he told me, come over to my house. And I did. And he gave me a surfboard fin and a piece of sandpaper. And he said, just fucking work on that. I'm going to do something. And I was like, okay, so I'm doing this. And I'm like, how the why is this going to help? How is this going to help? And, like, my head starts to get a little bit more quiet. And, you know, and he walks up and he throws a book in my lap and we start going through it. And then he's like, all right, we're jumping on the bus for 2 hours to go to my home group meeting. And that's still my home group today. And, you know, so, again, I mean, my time's pretty much up, but, the main thing is just like, I don't know, man, I've never had a legal drink, but that's never been a reason for me to not just do Alcoholics Anonymous the way it's written in the book. Right? Like, there's no chapter to the young people, you know, it's chapters like into action. And like, so I walk in and they throw a fucking book in my lap and they say, this is the book and this is how you're going to work the program if you want to stay sober, right? Because, you know, it says rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. And it doesn't say like my fucked up little path, because like that's not a good route, you know, like my head gets me loaded every time. My head is what got me to where I was on April 9th of 2015. And those are my ideas. And, you know, I'm grateful that you guys were here, and I'm grateful that you guys had some different ideas for me, you know, young, old, indifferent, right? And I've seen it work for a variety of people. So if you're new, I hope that, you know, like, you're in pain, right? I was in fucking big time pain when I got here. And like, I hope it's enough pain for you to be able to do something. And, you know, it's simple, but it's not always easy. And, you know, I'm just grateful that I've been able to do it. That's it. Thanks.